Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday, the 7th day of May. May the 7th be with you. I didn't get to do that over the weekend.
Oh, man. I don't know where you were on May the 4th, but the Star Wars dorks were everywhere. And I'm going to tell you where I was. And it was a particularly target-rich environment if you were looking for these good folks. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. All right, so first, phone number, as you know, 866-660-5759. Among the things that we will do today, talk about today, it is the most important story in the world right now is that Israel has decided, you know, whether America wants us to or not, or let's say whether the American president wants us to or not, we're going to go win this war, and it is going to be horribly messy. There's a reason why they say war is hell. It's because it is. War was hell when we beat the Germans twice. War was hell when we beat the Japanese. You know, that's it. Non-combatants are going to die. War was hell when this country was born. A just and righteous war is always designed to carry out something that is a moral necessity, but in so doing, there will always be, you know, painful parts of that that you can roll out on, you know, in TV all you want, and you can focus on that and only that, but that is unbelievably short-sighted. On October 7th, Israel was brutally attacked by Hamas. At that point, it became a moral necessity to obliterate Hamas. And they've been kind of pussyfooting around and going with half measures, mostly because that's what Biden and this Antony Blinken want them to do. And finally, Israel is, I mean, they're not flipping us off or anything. They're just saying, look, with all due respect, we got to go win this war. So they are drilling down on Rafah as we speak, properly so. And to bring it back to this country, that means that the most important story in the world is going to add to the fuel in one of the more important domestic stories, and that is the degree to which the anti-Semitism, the Jew-hating, and it's not just Jew-hating, there's something you have to understand about all of these protests around the country, and the first thing you need to understand is your kid's graduation may be screwed up. Imagine graduating from college in 2024 right now. That means that you were the folks, if you're on, you know, the usual four-year plan, these were the folks who might have lost their entire high school graduation because of COVID policies. And now to have this happen because punks and hooligans and ne'er-do-wells and miscreants are shutting down universities, Columbia not only said, we're not going to have a graduation, but the law school said, we don't want to have finals, and let's just pass everybody. What? It's absolutely insane. They tried to shut down the University of Michigan commencement. I think a million people graduate from Michigan every year. That failed. University of Texas is coming up this Saturday, and they say they're not canceling. In Florida, Ron DeSantis says, we're not canceling any graduations in Florida, but there are going to be some that will be canceled as essentially, and I mean this only partially metaphorically, the terrorists win. You can't let the terrorists win by shutting down this very special day for you, your family. You've spent a ton of money to get here. The students have, you know, put in the grades necessary to graduate. To have a bunch of protesters and activists and just jerk hooligans destroy their day? No, you just can't have that. And here's what you have to understand about these protesters. Find me 100 of them. Probably fewer than half of them even know what the issue is about. They don't know what Palestine is or its spotty history. There was never a country called Palestine. There was this, you know, there's the Palestinian turf wars and the Israelis and all this. I mean, listen, you can have a feeling about that. That's fine. And that can be a grounds for debate. And that's fine. But the point at which it's like, you know, we're going to, you know, take back the campus and force the campus not to invest in weapons contractors that do business with Israel. Hey, excuse me, dumbass. America does business with Israel. And if that's just painful for you, find another university or find another country. Whatever you have to do to sleep better at night. But you don't get to set up one of these fetid, squalorous tent cities and encampments on the just no. And those have been being properly. Sometimes they've taken their time. Columbia and UCLA, they have been dismantled by police. But here's the thing you have to understand: out of the 100 hypothetical protesters you would pluck from one of these environments, fewer than half of them, you know what the issue is. A ton of them are just there. This is about hatred of America, hatred of Israel, to be sure, hatred of Jews, if they've even thought about it that much, hatred of their school. Some of it is racial animus, class animus. This ridiculous leftist oppressor lens through which everything is seen. It is one of the most intellectually vacant waves of protest in the history of protest. It's just a bunch of people with a lot of time on their hands, a lot of pent up anger. Then throw in today's young people where their brains are just turned into soft mush by their devices and the self-absorption and the narcissism that comes with the modern day. And am I happy this millisecond versus the next millisecond? And throw it, it's all a recipe for this current disaster. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And Biden owns it. What side is his White House on? Is it on Israel's side? I don't think so. He will try to make it look that way. Today he will speak. It is an event sponsored by the United States Holocaust Museum, but it's not at the museum. He'll speak at the Capitol, or he'll try to. And it'll be all about the what are called the Days of Remembrance, which takes on a bitter irony with Biden, who scarcely remembers what day it is. The speech will be written nobly, I'm sure. Will he be able to get through it coherently? I don't know. But it'll be an attempt for this White House to look like it has taken a strong stand against anti-Semitism when they have not. Just the other day, when it took him like 3 minutes into a 4-minute address to even say anything about the Jew hating that was the problem. And then he had to engage in this ridiculous both sides-ism by saying, well, you know, no joke. Hate's always bad. It's always bad. Whether it's about anti-Semitism or Islamophobia. Islamophobia? I'm sorry, where's the Islamophobia problem right now? Where's the campus where Islamophobia is on fire? Pardon me, did I miss something? It's just so morally and intellectually vacant. And so you take the obstructions that we're putting in Israel's way, because there's old Blinken or, you know, Winken or Blinken or Nod or whoever he's sending over there to tell Israel, we are not in favor of you going into, not in favor of you going into Rafah. What? It's like telling, you know, the Americans of World War II, yeah, don't be bombing Dresden. You know, don't be bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah, guess what? We got a war to win. We've got a war to win, and we did. So it's just an absolute mess. I don't need to spend an enormous amount of time on Kristi Noem because certainly no one else will be moving forward. Thank God we discovered what a flake she is before Trump even gave a passing thought to her as vice president. Have you heard of the first rule of holes? The first rule of holes is if you're in one, stop digging. Is she on like the Home Shopping Network this morning, selling pans and talking about shooting this dog? Oh, and by the way, now we have new material now. I met Kim Jong-un. Or not. What? So, and again, I don't, one of the reasons I don't overreact or overcare about this is I never cared that much about her. I've known from square one, there's exactly one reason why she's a big deal. Well, there, okay. she has had good policies. She is smart. She has political gifts, et cetera. There's a lot going for her. And by the way, she's a fine governor, and I have nothing broadly against her. But one of the things that has vaulted her to the top of the front of mind list is she's just smoking hot. And you know it, and I know it. And that's, Kim Reynolds in Iowa ain't getting this kind of attention. Sarah Sanders in Arkansas doesn't get this kind of attention. By the way, both lovely women. But Christine Ohm is just beauty pageant hot. And that's it. That is it. And you know that's it. It's like a DEI hire for hotness. She has certain talents, but boy, ratchet that up because wow. That is the reason she's a big deal. Now, first of all, if you got that going for you, male or female, if you got the pulchritude thing going for you, where you're a very attractive person, that's a wonderful thing to have happen. You could argue the same is true, might be true of Gavin Newsom. That's a pretty, pretty man. Anyway, though, if you could back it up in every single way, great, good for you. But if it all starts to fall apart, it is falling apart. Wow, this was such. And listen, we kind of dealt with that last week. I didn't figure this would even last much through the weekend, but then she goes on like every show. She was on to Jesse Waters last night, on with Eric Bolling on Newsmax. She's got books to sell. I totally get it. And now comes the word that one of the publishers at one point, a couple of years ago, said, yeah, you might not want to come across as so incredibly proud of having put a bullet in the dog. By the way, also in the book, apparently, at the Biden White House, that if she were arrived there and Commander is there, you remember I wrote in my Star Telegram column last week, say what you will about the Bidens, but when their German Shepherd Commander developed a biting Secret Service agents problem, they found a less stressful home environment. They didn't take him out on the South Lawn and blow his brains out. Christine Ohm in the book literally says, if Commander is still a problem, take care of that too. Commander, say hello to Cricket. What? And again, the thing, and look, if she shot a dog, she's in her early 30s. Okay, there's a sliver of hard scrabble ranch life where you got to do that every once in a while. If livestock really are endangered, or people are really endangered, or your life is in hazard, or the operations of the farm or the ranch, but even people in the farming and ranching and just backwoods communities of America rose up to say that criterion just didn't seem to be met with poor little Cricket. But she thought that this badass Prairie Princess Act would make everybody just love how she handles tough situations. What a colossal misreading of the room. So anyway, local news over the weekend. In the 12th Congressional District, where Kay Granger is taking her leave, the Republican congressman, the primary person, will likely be the congressman who wins in November. You have Craig Goldman, who came out of the state legislature, and John O'Shea. So Mr. O'Shea, according to some, has a spotty record of voting, spotty voting record himself. Did he vote a lot, from 2000 to like almost now, for Bush, for McCain, for Romney, for Abbott, for Paxton, did he vote for Trump in 2016? And an examination of voting records shows that he kind of didn't. He says those records are flawed. Tried to make that point with Jason Whiteley over the weekend on Inside Texas Politics. That hasn't gone over totally well with some. It's like, what? And so I'll tell you, when this story first began, I thought, sideshows. Is it my favorite thing if somebody crawls on broken glass and walks through fire to vote in every single election? Of course, that's a lovely thing, a good sign of civic engagement. That's wonderful. But if you've got guy A and guy B, and guy B, perfect voting record, but I disagree with him on six things. Guy A has a spotty record of showing up to vote himself, but in the last couple of years has decided, you know what? I'm motivated. I want to run right now. And I agree with him on everything. I'm going with that guy. I don't care whether he voted for Romney are we being leveled with here? So John O'Shea will join us at 8:35 today, 9 o'clock hour. We're going to meet a guy named Jared Reynolds. Who's he? We're going to find out. He is our final Food for the Poor co-host winner. And it's funny, he does a lot that has to do with water. And I'm fascinated by water. I don't really know when I turn the spigot on in the morning. I don't really know where that comes from. I mean, I kind of know. Got the labor. But I hear that Texas has, like, water issues. But anyway, he does a lot of this stuff for a living and has some views. And that's the whole point of the Food for the Poor. Pony up for them and come hang out with me, and we'll talk about stuff. And so we'll meet Mr. Gerald Reynolds, I believe, of Lipan, Texas, at the 9 o'clock hour. Let's meet you right now, 866-660-5759. But let's meet this moment, as we like to do each morning. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored. Our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So where'd I go? Discovered an American city where I'd never been. And it's right next door. Tell you about it next. Mark Davis, 723.
I can't survive. I can't stay alive without your love.
All together now, let's go.
Baby, don't leave me this way.
Put on the platforms and the high heels. Let's go. Houston is 78. All right. You know, dirty little secret, all those disco records were awesome. Had an awesome trip, and it begins, you remember 2-3 weeks ago when I was going to be gone on a Friday, and we were set up to go, guest host, bada boom, ready to go, tickets bought, everything set. Where we were going was San Antonio. It was a gift from Lisa. At Christmas time, she looked ahead. And we are, you know, I'm an enormous fan and aficionado of what I believe to be one of the most, one of the purest forms of any type of entertainment, stand-up comedy. I grew up on the records of George Carlin and Bill Cosby. I remember you can mention him, and Richard Pryor, et cetera, et cetera. And if there's a guy who is just knocking it out of the park, it's this wonderful man, did SNL a couple months ago, Nate Bargatze. I love him. Lisa loves him. And she found, not doing any Dallas dates. Found him at the Majestic Theater in San Antonio. We were set to go. It was on a Friday night, so I take Friday off. Then I got a cold, gave it to her. She was sick as a dog, had to cancel the trip. It's like, oh, dude. Ugh. So being my bride, she said, I'm going to find him somewhere else. Found him, and so we saw Nate on Sunday night with 11,000 of our closest friends at the Rio Rancho Event Center just north of Albuquerque. Once again, New Mexico. And before I came back to my native Texas, I didn't give four thoughts to New Mexico. What's New Mexico? Big, square, sort of what? Well, great. But Taos is great. Ruidoso is great. Red River is great. Santa Fe is great. Never been to Albuquerque. And we also, in the last couple of years, binged Breaking Bad. They have some Breaking Bad stuff in Albuquerque. So anyway, I'll shut up about that now. 805 will give you some. I always learn stuff from travels. And I like to impart those things. There's one thing I got to run by Mr. Mike. I'm going to run a number of things by Mr. Mike, who is in South Carolina for his triumphant return to the South Carolina airwaves. But we had an incredible time in Albuquerque. You should get on a plane and go see Nate Bargatze. He's that great. He's just, and you know, you think, and he does it without a lick of profanity, but it's not squeaky, clean, boring. Is as edgy as he needs to be without taking things into the gutter. He's just a genius. And Albuquerque is a really cool town. Had a wonderful time. It's awesome. Okay, enough about that. Let's hop into the newsroom, come back out. Let's go to another fine town, Greenville, South Carolina, where our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher will join us next, 7:31. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Nikki. Thought I'd go to a fine South Carolina artist, Little Hootie and the Blowfish. Big tip of the hat to the Palmetto State, where yesterday you heard Mike Gallagher's triumphant return.
You and me, we come from different...
to the station that he was on in his formative stages, and he's there because Salem runs his show on that station now. And I thought about you all day yesterday
as we were on the way back,
and I'm just
but
so
that, proud. I was thinking about you, but don't be gracious. Salem yanked me off this station years ago. Because they bought another radio station, so they made me leave the station where it all began 35 years ago. I only had about a 14 share at the time they pulled me off the station. So we went across town to the other station, and then Salem months ago sold the station. So I thought, well, there goes my Greenville career. There goes my my buddy Joey Hudson's radio career. And then, lo and behold, the big powerhouse monster station here in the market, where it started, WORD, said, hey, Mike, we want you back. We want to put you on live. We want Joey to be a big part of the show. Joey's doing a local show in the mornings before Tara, who is a feisty morning show host. She's like the Mark Davis of Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson. So we had dinner last night, big Japanese restaurant, all the air talent and I got together. And I'm just over the moon. I mean, it's hard to believe. TV station coming in today. Robolo from the NBC affiliate is going to come in and do a big story about it. And it's been in all the media. We've just had a great time. So thanks for everybody indulging me on this, because I know it's a big deal. You know, I mean, it's 35 years ago, Mark. I mean, it's like you going back to, you know,
Jacksonville,
Florida.
Yep.
So, but can I just salute you to start? First of all, welcome back. We missed you. You posted something on X that is so profound. I reposted it, and I want to talk about it today on the show because, as you said, the big topic in the world is Israel in invading Rafah and taking care of business, because that's right now where Hamas is holed up. And somebody named Mohammed wrote, Rafah is being decimated. There is nowhere else left to go. Israel is now bombing more than 1.7 million civilians trapped in Rafah, Gaza's last piece of refuge. A massacre is happening in Rafah right now, and the world is silent. And you reposted that, and here's what Mark Davis wrote. You said the world is not silent. Those with moral clarity solemnly recognize this is how a war is won. A war started on October 7th by Hamas, which bears full responsibility for every Palestinian misfortune since. Mark, those are so profound. Those words are so profound and so important. And kudos to you for bringing clarity to a situation that is now wildly out of control here in the United States.
It sure is.
Commencement ceremonies.
You went exactly where I wanted to go, because thank you. I appreciate it. And there are all kinds of ways to feel, and we're certainly learning about that. There are ways you can, there's sides you can take in the Israeli versus Palestinian issue, and that's fine. But we're a million miles away from that now. We have hooligans disrupting graduation ceremonies. We have the president of the United States who does not have the moral clarity that I described in that retweet. He'll go to the Holocaust, and not to the museum. It's sponsored by them, but it'll be at the Capitol, and he will try to say all the right things against anti-Semitism, but it rings so hollow when he won't speak truth to the evils of raging anti-Semitism, especially among our young, and when he and his administration are trying to impede Israel as they try to win the war. It's a mess.
As the Wall Street Journal reports, colleges have a new revolt on their hands, first dealing with all of these Jew-hating, Hamas-loving miscreants, but now parents paying as much as $90,000 for their sons and daughters to attend these elite universities are understandably angry and frustrated with colleges canceling commencements. How would you like to shell out nearly $100,000 for your kid to go to school, and they say, well, no graduation ceremony for him. Sorry, she's going to have to just sit this one out because the terrorists have essentially won. Yeah. They took over and they won. And now, but not in Texas.
No, and not in Florida.
Not in Texas.
Is that right?
Not in Florida. They're saying, you know what? We'll have a massive police presence, but we're going to have commencement. We're not going to rip this honor away from these young men and women who spent years of their lives to get here. And because of a bunch of pink-haired, degenerates who are, banging the drum for Palestine and free Palestine, you're going to cancel that? I don't think so. And I think from Gavin Newsom to Greg Abbott, they're saying, oh, hell no. We will have our commencement ceremony.
From Ron DeSantis to Greg Abbott.
What'd I say?
Gavin Newsom.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Name, gosh.
Right, no problem.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, I know. Did you have a stroke?
I know. What in the world? All right, 30 seconds on Kristi Noem.
Go.
I mean, all right, well, my theory is it holds true. Two things. She clearly has jettisoned on her own any idea that she's going to be Trump's vice presidential running mate. And number two, she's trying to sell a lot of books. And that's it. That's all there's left. Either that, or C, she is in the midst of a massive mental breakdown.
Yeah, I don't know which it is. And people have to understand that when this story first broke, my buddy Mike was the first to say that it seemed like self-sabotage. This is so weird and so otherworldly that she would think that putting a bullet in the dog's brain would be something that would make people go, yeah, she needs to be vice president, that you thought that she was like intentionally trying to make herself untouchable for Trump as VP. And I thought, who does that to themselves? And then as she keeps going on show after show, digging the hole deeper and deeper, I just don't know. I mean, I begin to think that you may be right about that. And even if she is trying to go to goal number two, to sell books, who now says, well, I think she was a monster for killing the dog, but I got to go buy that book. Who says that? She's failing on every front, except succeeding in ending her political career.
But Mark, lying about me Kim Jong-un
that's
and
so
staring
weird.
Him down.
So
that's
weird.
Bigger than the dog to me.
Well, I mean, of course it is. And she says, and everybody's asking her about that. I've got 8:05, I'll play Jesse Waters, one of 14 shows she was on, where it's clear she didn't meet Kim Jong-un. And then she says, well, I'm not going to share the details of private conversation. We're not asking you to tell what you talked about. We're not looking for transcripts. Did you meet with Kim Jong-un? Yes or no? And of course the answer is no. She's bat poop crazy.
Well, and your theory is bizarre. I about wrecked the car off the road here, driving into Garlington Road here in the upstate. I almost veered off of into the bridge abutment on 385. You said it has to do with her hotness.
Well, that's the only reason she's front. That is the main. That's what makes her more front of mind than a number of other wonderful conservative
women. Her hotness?
That's the tipping point. That's why she's on TV.
And then you mentioned the other governor's lack of hotness.
Well, I said that there's a reason why you see Kristi Noem 15 times more than you see Kim Reynolds in Iowa and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And it ain't because it's not because her policies are any better.
Mark,
what are you
Howard Stern now? What are you talking about?
Do you believe that Kristi Noem, governor of a state very few people care about, is on TV all the dang time? Do you believe she is on the Trump VP list because she's just so glaringly awesome that that's all of it? Please.
I'm not sure it's because of her hairstyle or her hotness
That's part of it.
Okay, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Which is not to you. That's a great reference. No shock jock observation. Just the way
she's
the way
definitely
things
an attractive woman.
She's
but how, speaking of female governors, how about Kathy Hochul asserting that black children in the Bronx don't know what the word computer means?
Yeah.
You know, for years you and I have asserted that it's really the left that they're the racists. They're the bigots. Whether it's voter ID laws, the condescending way that Democrats treat people of color, you're too stupid to figure out how to get a voter ID, you know, a registration. You don't know how to get a driver's license. So Kathy Hochul is trying to explain how to create a diverse workforce in tackling something like artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And she said, she blabbered this into a microphone. I swear to you, it's true. Quote, right now we have, you know, young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know these things. And I want the world opened up to all of them.
What a lovely thought.
Beautiful thought. And listen, prominent Democrat. Yep. Hey, Democrats, you paying attention? Yep. Who are you going to vote for in November?
Exactly.
What party are you going to vote for? And you might vote for the guy who's behind bars because now Donald Trump is promising to go to jail to sacrifice himself on the altar of free speech, if that's what Juan Marchand is gonna do, because yesterday the judge threatened. I mean, I did see a late night comic, and it was pretty funny. He said, you know, Trump's like a toddler. And when you're like the toddler's in the backseat of the car and you say to the kid, now, if you don't stop talking, 8, 9, 9.5,
I told you.
Yes. 9 3/4 when I get to 10. So now Marshawn is saying, all right, this is the 11th
yep.
violation of my gag order. Here's, I'm going to slap you with another $1,000 fine. You've got to stop talking 11 times. I mean, how many times does Trump have to violate it before Marshawn is
forced to put him into jail? He will not go to jail. He will not go to jail. One thing that might be plausible, and which is not terrible if you're Trump, house arrest. Wouldn't that be something? And of course, and he'll play that up. He will turn either jail or house arrest into a massive. He'll win 5 more states if they do that. It's
correct because that'll tie him down. Well, yeah. But they're already doing it now. And you know what, Juan Marchand's, you know what keeps him up at night? I gotta believe. I would think if the man's halfway decent and has a brain in his body, his daughter Lauren. Have you read about this character and the tens of millions of dollars that she has fundraised off of Trump hatred?
Yeah.
Her chief client is Adam Schiff, one of Trump's chief persecutors. That's Juan Marchand's daughter.
Yep.
Mark, you can't make this crap up. That's right out of a play. That's like Les Miserables and Javert against Jean Valjean on steroids. The daughter, the corruption of this is so profound. I mean, look up Lauren Marchand. Look up the company that she runs. Look up the fundraising that she's done off of Trump's trial that her daddy is presiding over.
How could there be a problem? All of which she gets to do in a country with free speech. She has the right to do all of those things. But if that's the immediate the offspring of the judge in your case, you might have a reason to think if and listen, as we've talked about with Clarence Thomas and Jenny Thomas or other parents and kids, they don't always agree about everything. And just because you have this situation doesn't necessarily mean that the husband or the wife or the mom or the dad feels the same way. But there, just the glint, the seeming aroma of nearby bias is something that you should try to get past in a case as important as this.
Right. This isn't about her free speech rights. This is about Marchand being recused. He has no business presiding over this trial. Alvin Bragg needed to find a corrupt judge, and this is it. This is the guy. He had to find a crime, because there isn't one, and then he had to find a judge willing to go along with this absurdity. And today, brace yourself, because Stormy Daniels,
yeah, buddy,
the star witness, is going to take the stand, and she is ready to put it to Donald Trump.
It is a total outrage. And by the way, this is not why I want it on TV. What's happening in this courtroom, this travesty should be visible to every American. It's the public's business being done in there. It's my time number 712 to say it is an outrage. This is not televised for everybody to see.
It should be. Absolutely. Yep. But by the way, as a star witness now, Baba Booey, what's her hotness factor? Stormy Daniels. Yeah. I mean,
thankfully, that doesn't matter. And how you look matters in politics. It obviously does.
I'm getting buried with text messages saying Mark is absolutely right. I'm with Mark. Hey, Mark has a point here.
Thank you.
You know, all we're meeting is the little clangy bell and the whoop, 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 good morning.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
And he's a nice guy. I was on a panel with him once.
For those who don't know, this is a Tampa Bay area shock jock who for decades has entertained a million. So go ahead.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy, but he's one of those guys. I like these guys. I had dinner last night with all the WORD folks, and they reminded me of a guy out of Atlanta. Have you ever heard of David Paul on WSB?
I have not.
He was a late night host that I was so enamored with. He was one of the funniest guys, one of the craziest voices on the radio. So anyway, I always say, off the wall with David Paul, off the wall with David Paul. And it's you look him up online, and he was.
I will do that.
I mean, he was like a week away from the home.
In Greenville, South Carolina, who did they have to pay off to get? Are those the actual call letters? WORD.
Those are our call letters. I was involved in that back in the day.
What a perfect set of call letters for a talk station. How do you get
that? It's complicated. The actual call letters are W-Y-R-D.
But they call themselves.
They call it W-O-R-D.
We have the word in here in Christian teaching and talk.
Correct.
That's K-W-R-D.
The word is a big Christian. But the word in talk radio?
What radio station has the actual call letters W-O-R-D?
There's Pittsburgh, I think. WORD is in Pittsburgh. I think.
I don't know. I'll make that my.
Kentucky also. Joey says Kentucky as well. All I know is I got to keep practicing. News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. Once I said the talk of the Carolinas, I said, no. It's the voice. Well, here we are. All right, well, back to Tampa tonight, and then off to Dallas to your neck of the woods. I got to brag on my kid. More on that tomorrow because my son Trevor is going to be walking the stage. They are not canceling his graduation ceremony where he gets his master's degree.
Fantastic.
Well, so proud of him.
And we get to see you the week.
Well, I'm missing Friday's show because the ceremony is Friday morning, so I'm going to miss the show. Joey's going to fill in for me on Friday, but I may have to pop into the grand. Can I get past one of the guards at the Mark and Lisa estate? I mean, you got to call ahead.
You know you can.
I'll submit my social security number for security checks and see if I can say hi to Mark and Lisa.
Always welcome.
Maybe see you this weekend.
All right, man. You'll see Mike in South Carolina as soon as we're done at 10, right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is having you and music.
So the reference to the Nickelodeon shows you that we're going back in time a good bit. In this particular case, to 1949. Music. Teresa Brewer, born this date 1931. Passed away back in 07. Not a lot of the way back people are still alive, but some are. So we'll let her take us out with a little music, and then we'll get into some topics as we work our way into the 8 o'clock hour. Join us, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.